It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer Kent. In the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision preserving access to the abortion medication mifepristone, we get two Wisconsin perspectives on the High Court's ruling. The justices ruled that abortion opponents lack the legal right to sue over the Food and Drug Administration's approval of the drug mifepristone and the FDA's actions to ease access to it. Mifepristone is used in more than 60% of abortions nationwide. That's according to the Guttmacher Institute, a research group that supports reproductive rights. We start with Laura Brown, regional coordinator for the Silent No More Awareness Campaign and a board member of a crisis pregnancy center. Laura, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. What is your reaction to the Supreme Court rejecting an attempt to restrict access to mifepristone?
Yeah, first I need to clarify, I am the regional coordinator for Silent No More, but Silent No More Awareness Campaign is not a political organization and takes no position on the political issues of it. There is definitely information about the hazard that this poses to women's health. But also APLOG, the American Association of Pro-Life OBG and doctors, put out a position paper that it is very concerning because it is so hazardous to women's health. In addition to the mifepristone, the telehealth protocol is very hazardous. That starts with, there's no safety data showing that that is a safe way to deliver this medication. And when a woman does not see a doctor in person, there's no physical exam. There's not even a confirmation of pregnancy. There isn't an ultrasound to confirm the location of the baby, whether it's an ectopic pregnancy or whether it is in the uterus. There's no confirmation of gestational age of the baby because that has a great deal to do with potential complications after the medication has been taken. And one that really hits home for me is there is no Rh status testing. I am Rh negative. I know very much the complications of future pregnancies that can happen if the Rh status is not determined and the proper medications issued afterwards. So beyond the hazard to women's health, there's complications that result in as many as 20% of women experience some level of complications, which is as many as 39,000 per year. There's retained fetal remains, there's potential bleeding, infection, continued pregnancy, a missed ectopic pregnancy. And all those women then are sent to an emergency room. They don't go back to the ER, or they don't go back to the abortionist, excuse me. And so then ER doctors are left dealing with this, and many times they aren't even told that this is what's going on. So many women and death, many women have died as well from this.
Well, when you say many women, I mean, the FDA has received reports linking mifepristone to 28 deaths out of the 5.6 million since 2000 when the abortion medication became legal. And the agency said there are information gaps to directly even attribute the causes to mifepristone. What is your reaction to that?
Yes, and that is part of the FDA has changed their protocol multiple times. In 2016, the most serious one is that they eliminated the adverse event reporting unless a woman dies. And so there is no adverse reporting for all of these complications. And many of these numbers are based on what they have found and then therefore extrapolating information. In 2020, when they eliminated the in-person exam, that, again, created significant hazards to women's health on that. And they confirmed that again in 2021. So there are, since there is no adverse reporting, then there isn't any way for women to know and be aware, and even scientists to be aware of adverse events happen.
Laura, let's turn to this ruling. Justice Brett Kavanaugh noted that federal law says that doctors cannot be forced to perform or assist in abortions. Do you feel physicians could suffer harm by treating patients experiencing complications from mifepristone?
No, because every law in every state is very clear on the fact that if a woman is experiencing complications and they present to an emergency room, that the doctor is able to make those decisions to treat the woman in the safest way possible.
Do you see space for compromise here, compromise on this particular medication?
For me personally, at a minimum, there would have to be, number one, a in-person exam that would verify all the things that I mentioned before about a confirmation of pregnancy, the location of the baby, the gestational age of the baby, and Rh status testing. Those are standards of care, and those were eliminated. And so at a very minimum, those should be necessary and required, because that is what helps save the woman and from complications. And then also there used to be four different appointments required with this: before, after, and then as follow-ups, in order to address any potential complications. And so when women are just left to go to the ER, there's no history. The ER doctor is starting blind with no information about this person at all, whereas the abortionist is the one who has her records and her files and would be able to address those complications in a more comprehensive manner.
Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Laura Brown is with the group Silent No More Awareness Campaign and a board member of a crisis pregnancy center. For another perspective on the Supreme Court's decision, let's bring in Tanya Atkinson. She is president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Tanya, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Oh, thank you so much, Kate.
So physician groups like the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists approved of the Supreme Court's decision. How significant is this ruling for clinics like Planned Parenthood?
Well, that's an excellent question. Certainly the ruling was a win. And what that means in Wisconsin is that there are no new restrictions. The legal status of abortion access in Wisconsin remains the same. And so people can access abortion care, including medication abortion, at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin Health Centers in Milwaukee, Madison, and Sheboygan.
How is mifepristone different from other options for medication abortions?
Well, the mifepristone and misoprostol regimen are the most effective regimen for medication abortion. So it's really, really important that mifepristone remain available. It was approved by the FDA more than 23 years ago and has remained a really critical access point for people who need an abortion.
Meanwhile, the efforts to restrict mifepristone are likely to continue as the ruling leaves several states able to revive the challenge before a federal judge in Texas. How is Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin preparing to adapt if the Supreme Court does limit access to mifepristone?
Well, the focus is to ensure that we currently have everything available, which includes mifepristone. And certainly there are, other protocols that are available. At this point, we're focusing on what's right in front of us. And what's right in front of us is mifepristone and the medication abortion being a really critical point of access for people across the state of Wisconsin.
Looking at Justice Kavanaugh noting that the federal law says that doctors cannot be forced to perform or assist in abortions or to treat patients with complications from mifepristone, do you think these conscious protections mean that doctors would have adequate protections and wouldn't have to provide abortions?
Well, I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to be able to speak to that. What I can say is we believe that it's critical that that women and their physician be able to work together, and that women are able to make their own decisions about whether or not they need an abortion.
Neighboring Illinois invested millions of dollars last year to improve abortion access for people from other states, Wisconsin included. Are Wisconsinites still relying on Illinois clinics for abortion care?
That's an excellent question. So Wisconsin also invested millions of dollars in ensuring that our providers, when we were forced to suspend abortion, that our providers could go to Illinois and partner with Planned Parenthood of Illinois to expand access. And we also know that there were a number of people, a number of women who were not able to leave the state despite all of the navigation efforts and support. So historically, some women in Wisconsin have always relied on Illinois for an access point. And we know that since we've resumed care, all of our appointments have been filled. So we know that the number of women traveling to Illinois has dropped since we've been able to resume services. And both Illinois and Illinois and Minnesota in particular have also served as an access point for Wisconsin patients, throughout many years, because Wisconsin has got some of the largest list of abortion restrictions in the entire country. So those restrictions are real. They're insurmountable for some, and sometimes people need to access care in other states in order to meet their needs.
In just a couple moments that we have, if all of your appointments are filled, does that mean that there are unmet needs?
Well, our teams are fully staffed, and we are providing the care. So, and the wait time is not very long. However, I will say that because of the restrictions that are really egregious in Wisconsin, it's hard to know. It's hard to know if all the need is being met, because our restrictions, the list is too long, but 24-hour waiting period.
And we'll have to leave it there. Tanya Atkinson, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Earlier, we heard from Laura Brown with the Silent No More Awareness Campaign.